are getting older, and because of the fact that there's a week in between, you might need to take a few notes. And so that will be helpful for the questions next week. Every eye up front, no talking or whispering for our lesson for tonight. And next week, the questions will be mostly on the story. However, I will ask some questions on the songs as well, how they fit in with the lesson. If you were at the Lord's Supper this morning, you would have heard Mr. Lehman as he talked about the title, the Lord of Glory. Now, the titles of the Lord Jesus are very important in the Word of God, and it so happens that in Acts chapter 2, we read these words, that the God of glory appeared unto Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charim, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come unto a land that I will show thee. Now that's a most interesting title for the Lord, the God of glory. That title, the God of glory, is only found one other time in the Word of God. And that's found in Psalm 29, where it says these words, in Psalm 29, the Lord, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord sitteth upon a flood. The Lord sitteth as king forever. Yes, the Lord sitteth upon a flood, it says. And then it says, the Lord will bless thee and give thee strength. Now, that title, the God of glory, is closely connected to another title of the Lord, and that is found in Psalm 24, where it says this in verse 7, Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Both Psalm 29 and Psalm 24 has to do with the millennium, which when the Lord Jesus is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years as King of kings and Lord of lords. Now that is most interesting because you see, what the Lord has promised is that the children of Israel are going to get the land all the way from the Great Sea right to the river Euphrates. Now, no matter what takes place over there in the Middle East, no matter what they are going to try to do to those Jews, because they want to annihilate them, they don't want them, we know that the day is going to come and they're going to get the land. Not only are they going to get the land, but they're going to be with the Lord during the millennium for that 1,000 years. Now, that's very exciting to me. But as I shared with you this morning in my lesson, that the Jews rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. The Israelites do not accept the New Testament as a nation. And so they haven't gotten that land yet. But God said to Abraham, I'm going to give that land to your descendants. Now that's a tremendous thing. They're going to get it because there's not one word that's ever failed of all his promises. They're going to get the land. Now, the Jews, as most of you know, have suffered tremendously. The Israelites have had lots of problems, but fellows and girls and men and women, they haven't seen the tip of the iceberg. Why, they're going to have more problems. Do you know that what's going to happen? Jesus Christ is coming back with a shout, and those who have accepted him as their own personal Savior are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. Yes, we're going to be caught up to meet him. And then the earth is still going to go on for 7 more years. We call it the tribulation period. And then the Lord is going to come back again. The first time when he comes, it's going to be in a twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be caught up, and nobody's going to see what takes place. But the next time, at the end of the tribulation period, when it looks like Israel will be destroyed over there, then he's going to come, and every eye will see him. His feet are going to touch that mountain, and he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it's most interesting to notice the title by which the Lord called Abraham. It's got to do with the millennium. Now, when it says the Lord sits upon the flood, and the voice of the Lord thundereth, the God of glory thundereth, to understand that whole thought, we need to look at Psalm 93. And it's in Psalm 93 where we find that the floods and the waves speaks of rebellion of people and of nations. Well, we find that Abraham was called. Now, the Lord of God appeared unto Abraham and said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and bless thee. And I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Yes, we read those words in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, that God is going to make them a blessing. Well, we found, as I said this morning, that Abraham is the father of all. He is also the friend of God. Pardon me. And so we find that Abraham answered the call. Now, the Lord called him out of a pagan place, a place of idolatry. Yes, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood. And we read in Isaiah how that they worshipped idols. Well, Abraham was called out of that, and he answered the call. Now, it is true, when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, that we find that his father went along. But we find that God called him alone. We read those words where it says, "Look to the rock from whence you were hewn, and from the hole of the pit from whence you were digged. Look unto Abraham thy father, and unto Sarah that bore thee. For I called him alone." Oh, God called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Yes, God called him alone. But the first thing that I want to mention, that when Abraham answered the call, he was a witness for the Lord. Now, just like God has called Abraham, my friends, so God is calling you. And what he is saying is, "Come unto me, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I trust that you answer the call. And if you do, then God wants you to be a witness. Now, it's true that Abraham was delayed, but I haven't got time to tell you all about that. He was delayed, and it was part obedience. But he went down to the place called Haran, stayed there until he was 75 years of age, and then his father died. And then we find that Abraham, he took the lead instead of his father taking the lead, and he made his way into the promised land. Well, we find that Abram, first of all, was a witness. He witnessed to his father. How his father responded to that witness, I really can't say, because I don't know. But he did take the lead and brought him down to Haran. Well, we find not only do we find that he witnessed to his father, but he also witnessed to his nephew who came along. For his father said to him, look, Abram, you have got to take your nephew Lot. He's left alone. You know that your brother died, and you need to take care of him and take him along. Well, Lot went with them, and from that place where he was delayed for 5 years, they came up into the land of Canaan. Now, as they came into the land of Canaan, they were walking. And as they walked, we find that the Lord began to show them the land. Yes, they walked step by step. God didn't show them everything all at once. Neither does he show us a blueprint for us all at once. But as he came into the land, he walked through the land and was surprised to see that the Canaanite was in the land, the children of the curse. Now, the question might rise in some of your minds, why was Canaan, who was the grandson of Noah, why was he the one that was cursed? Well, there's different reasons for that, but we know that the God of all the earth will do that which is right. And his descendants were in the land. Now, as we watch him, Abraham did not start a war. He didn't start a fight with them. No, the third thing that we note about Abram is that he waited on the Lord. He waited to see what God wanted him to do. Some of you will remember Lord Rothschild, who was in the Zionist movement, a multimillionaire, and someone said to him, why don't you just buy up the place? You've got enough money. You can buy up the land and set the Jews free. And he responded by saying, why should I? We already have the title deeds. Now, I love that response. Lord Rothschild said, why should I? We're going to get it anyways. We've got the title deeds. Well, Abram, as he walked through the land and he saw the Canaanites, he did not fight or start a war. He waited on the Lord. Now, the first place that he came to was the place called Shechem or Sychem, which means shoulder. And he came there to the plain of Moreh, which means instructions. And I would like to say that when he got there, we find that on our shoulder it speaks of our strength. And as we do, as God has asked us to do, he has promised us strength for the day. And he also will give us instructions. And as the Lord instructed him and he heard what God had to say, he built an altar and he worshiped the Lord. Now, it was at this time that God appeared and said to him, Abram, for his name was not Abraham as yet, Abram, I'm going to give your descendants this land. Abram was going to see the land, but his descendants were going to get the land. Now, from there, Abram continued to walk through the land. And the next place that he came to was a mountain. And as he came to that mountain, we find that he built another altar. It's most interesting in the life of Abram to see the altars that he builds. And here we find that Abram built an altar, and the Bible tells us that he called upon the Lord. Now, the altar was erected between Bethel on the east and Hai or Ai on the west. Now, Bethel means the house of God. That's what it means. And Hai or Ai means heap of ruins. Now here was Abram right in the middle calling upon the name of the Lord. He had not arrived to that heavenly city. Oh, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out. And he was looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. But he didn't arrive yet at that city, but he did leave the world behind. He left that heap of ruins which Haggai speaks about. Now, fellows and girls and men and women, that's the very position, if you are a believer, that you are in. You're in the middle. We haven't arrived home yet. That's what we're looking for. Oh, as I told you, I am looking forward to going home. But we should not love the world. We should leave the world behind. And so we find that Abram was in that position, and he could truly say, as we sang, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Well, that's true about all of us. We're just passing through. And this world is not what should be our home. That's why we have that portion of Scripture where it says, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then it goes on to say that the light of the body is the eye. If the eye be single, the whole body is full of light. But if the eye be evil, the whole body is full of darkness. And if the light that is in you be darkness, oh, how great is that darkness. Well, Abram, there at this place between Bethel and Ai, as he was passing through the land, as the Lord was showing it to him, he called upon the Lord. Jeremiah tells us, call upon the Lord, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then we read those words in Psalms 91, where it says this, that call upon me, and I will answer thee. I will be with thee in trouble and deliver thee. I will honor thee and satisfy thee, and with long life, yes, will I satisfy you. Yes, the Lord wants to satisfy us if we call upon the name of the Lord. Well, Abram, just as we see a man here, was passing through the land. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Now, you won't be able to see it if you're sitting way in the back, but here we find all these characters that are making their way on the path, and they're going home. I wonder tonight if you truly can say that you're going home. That's the key thing. To be sure that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. Now, when we pass through this world, as we are doing, it doesn't mean that if you're a believer, you'll have no problems. Oh, no. You'll have problems. In fact, the Lord will test you. And you see, it's the believer who is willing to follow the Lord that gets the test. We don't read of test in the case of Lot, but we do read of Abram being tested over and over again because he desired to follow the Lord. And so Abram made his way, and the first test that came was a famine in the land. There's that verse that we read in Psalms that says, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. We also read this verse in the New Testament. The trials of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read also those words, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him." Yes, God has promised to be with us. And also we find that those words that I like in Psalms 31, where it says, "I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy." I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, because thou knowest my trouble and understandest my soul in affliction. Oh, the Lord knows the troubles that you're going to have. He knows all about it. And so we can be glad and rejoice in him. But we find what happened to Abram was this, that when the famine came, instead of trusting in the Lord, we find that Abram decided to go down to Egypt. Now, when we speak of Egypt in the Word of God, it speaks of the world. And instead of trusting in the Lord, he went to Egypt. I think of those words that we read also in the Word of God, where it says, "Woe to those that go down to Egypt. Woe to them that trust in chariots." Yes, and horses. And horsemen, those that trust in chariots and horses, because they are many. But they look not unto the Holy One, neither seek the Lord. Oh, how sad it is when people turn their back on God, who has promised to meet our need, and he goes down to Egypt. There's that verse also that we have that says, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I being in the way of God, he led me." Oh, if we're in God's way, you can be sure that he's going to lead you. Well, what we find about Abram is he decided to go to Egypt. Now, as he's on his way down to Egypt with his wife and also with Lot, we find that Abram says to his wife, "You know, honey, you are really a good-looking girl. You're a good-looking woman." Now, she was 65 years of age, of course. In those years, they lived a lot longer. And he said, "When we get down into Egypt, those men down there, they're going to take a look at you, and they're going to watch you, and what they'll do is they'll kill me. So what I want you to do, dear, is I want you to say that you are my sister." Now, that was a part truth. Because, you see, they both had the same father, but they had different mothers. They were half-brother and sister. But it was a downright lie. Pardon me. It was a lie because of the fact she was his wife. And, you know, when they got down into Egypt, it was just like Abram said. The men took a look at her and they thought, "Oh, my. This is really a good one for the harem. Why, the Pharaoh would be pleased with her." And so, just like Abram said, yes, they wanted her. And when they talked to the Pharaoh, who was the king of the land, Why, he was happy to have another woman in his harem. And so, you see, she was taken. And as a result of that, why, shortly, right away, we find that Abram began to get all these gifts from the Pharaoh. He got sheep, oxen, donkeys, camels. He got men servants and maid servants. What did Lot think when he saw all these things coming to Uncle Abram? You know, the Word of God says, be thou an example of a believer in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. But what was Lot thinking when Uncle Abram was getting all these things? But at what a price? It cost his wife. Oh my, how sad. She was taken in the harem. But the exciting thing is this, my friends. Why, the Word of God makes it very clear that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He sinned. He did that which was wrong, but God was still working on his behalf. Why, we read that verse also in Timothy where it says this, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. God was so good to Abram and Sarai. Why, we find that although she was taken into the harem, that the Pharaoh did not go to bed with her. God protected her. Not only that, but we find that, pardon me, not only did God protect her and was with her, but God began to cause the Pharaoh all kinds of problems. Why, he was plagued, the Bible tells us. He was plagued with all kinds of things. The man couldn't understand it. He was plagued and troubled like he had never been before. And as he thought about these things and tried to search out why he was having all these problems, he realized he had another man's wife in his harem. And when he found that out, he called for Abram. And as Abram stood before him, he said, why? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? You said she was your sister. Then he turned to his servants and he said, you take this man and get him out of here. Send him away. It was the first opportunity that Abram had to be a witness to a world leader. It was his first opportunity to be a witness to another nation. But he miserably failed. Oh, listen, Abram should have been a witness because God said, I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations. But he failed in what he did. And he was cast out. He was sent away. Now, the thing I like about Abram is this, that when Abram did wrong, he was troubled about it, and he went to the Lord and confessed his sin. He went back to Bethel, the house of God. I like that verse in 1 John. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I liked Abram because he was willing to confess his sin. He got right with God. And I want to say again tonight, my friends, no matter what sin we commit, the Lord will forgive us. Oh, yes, He's willing to forgive. He wants to forgive you. We need to confess our sin and get right with God day by day and keep short accounts. Now, when it comes to Lot, he is what I would call a tag-along. Now, it's not that he wasn't a believer, because as Abram witnessed to Lot, yes, Abram, as he witnessed, Lot came to know God in a personal way. We don't know that from reading the book of Genesis. In fact, when we read the book of Genesis and read about Lot, you would not think that a man like he was a believer. But as you read 2 Peter chapter 2, you will find that he was a believer and that his righteous soul was vexed every day. That means his righteous soul was troubled every day. Now, again, I want to say that if you claim that you're saved, and when you sin, it doesn't bother you, you see, you need to ask yourself why it doesn't bother you. Are you really saved? Well, it's a good question to ask yourself to know whether you're truly one of His. But as I said, Lot was a tag-along. You see, Lot's one of those kind of people who has no convictions of his own. You see, he went along with what Uncle Abe did. Where Uncle Abram went, that's where he went. It's like, you know, some of the people in this room. You just go along with your parents or your grandparents or those people that you know, and you have no convictions of your own. Some of you have never asked yourself the question, why am I going to this place here at the Blaisdell Gospel Chapel? Some of you have never asked yourself that question. You just come because this is where you were brought. But you know, I'm thankful that when I was a teenager, I asked myself that question. Why am I coming here? Why don't I go to another denomination? That's a good question to ask, you know. And I began to ask myself that question. Because you see, as far as I was concerned, as a young person, why, there was far more activity in other places than there is here at the chapel. And they have bigger numbers and bigger crowds. So, you see, I began to ask that question. Why don't we have a one-man minister like all the other churches? Why don't we do that? And then, why do we feel that the women should be silent and not speak audibly? Why do we feel that we should go out for our missionaries by faith and not by, going out trying to raise funds and doing that? Why do we have the Lord's Supper every week on the first day of the week? Why do we believe in baptism by immersion and not by sprinkling? You see, you could go on and ask yourself the questions. Why are we different? Do you know that the church started 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And when the church started, they were all gathered simply unto the name of the Lord. Well, that was in 313 A.D. that we have the first problem when Constantine wanted to be the head of the church. At the same time he was the head of the church, he wanted to be the head of the church, he was the head of a pagan religion. In fact, if you read history, you'll find that he forced people either to join the church or they would be killed. Well, you see, by 500, we come to the point where there was the Greek Orthodox, the Egyptian, and the Roman Catholicism, and those came in. And you see, you know what happened after that if you studied history. Then came the Reformation period. Now, when a Catholic tells you that they were here before the Protestants, They are absolutely right. But fellows and girls and men and women, those that have been gathered simply unto the name of the Lord started from the 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ and have been simply gathering all the way down to this present time. But their numbers are few. Well, you see, after the Reformation, that's when we got Protestantism. Now, what did they do? They didn't go back to the Word of God and gather unto Him and Him alone. No, what we have is people gathered unto other men's names, like the Lutherans and so forth. Or we have people who are gathered unto a doctrine, like the Baptists. Or we have people who are gathered unto a form of government, like the Presbyterians and other churches like that. You see, they're not gathering simply unto the name of the Lord. And that's what God wants us to do. Well, you see, why? He had no convictions on how he was gathered or what he believed. You see, there's many people like that. They've never asked themselves, why do I believe what I believe? Why do I do what I do? Well, we find that they came back, and when they came out of Egypt, why, the Bible tells us that Abram was a very, very wealthy man. And for that matter, Lot didn't do too bad either. He did... Pardon me. He did quite well. But there was the next problem to be faced. There was quarreling between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen. There wasn't enough land for their cattle and for their sheep. And so they began to quarrel between themselves. And Abram and Lot, as they happened to see what was going on, Abram turned to Lot and he said, let there be no strife between us. We are brothers. We read that verse, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And Abram said to Lot, Lot, we can't have this going on. Why, we're dwelling amongst the Perizzites and the Canaanites. Oh, Abram learned his lesson. He was to be a witness. You see, Abram knew that they just couldn't have all this fighting and arguing over this land. So he said to his nephew, look it, we'll go to higher ground and you can choose what you want. Look it over and choose what you want. Now you've got to remember that Abram was the older of the two. But Abram was trying to walk by faith and not by sight. He trusted the Lord, that the Lord would have the best for him. So, we find that lots of times there is fighting and there's arguing because of jealousy. The Bible says in the book of Song of Solomon, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Yes, wrath is cruel. And anger is outrageous. But who can stand before envy? And then it says also about envy or jealousy, which is the same thing, why, it is rottenness to the bones. Oh, the problem when we have jealousy and we have arguing and fighting amongst our brethren and sisters. And so, what we find that Abram did is he took Lot to a higher position, and there they looked over the land. Now, in life, we've got to make choices, just like we had a choice made tonight. We have to make choices. And the first important choice in life is this. Is it going to be heaven or is it going to be hell? You know, you need to make that choice. And you need to make it before it's too late.
Yes, we need to choose, am I going to choose heaven or will I choose hell? Well, if you choose Jesus Christ as Savior, you're on your way to heaven. But then the next choice that you need to make, am I going to live and lay up my treasures in heaven, or am I going to live for this world? Why, the Word of God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. What's your choice going to be? What are you going to make? And so you see, we all need to ask ourselves that question. So there is, they got on the higher ground, they looked over the land. And Lot, as he looked it over, he looked down the plains of Jordan. And as he looked it down, he could see that it was well watered. And he thought, my, this land is what he said. Why, this land is like the Garden of Eden, like the land of Egypt. Now, wait a minute. How can it be both? Like the Garden of Eden and like the land of Egypt. You see, Lot had a big problem. He had gotten out of Egypt, but Egypt did not get out of him. Now, let me say that again. He got out of Egypt, but Egypt did not get out of him. He liked the idea because this land down there, though it was well watered. And he thought to himself, my, this would be great for my cattle and for my sheep. He wasn't thinking, would this be a good place to raise children? He wasn't thinking, is this what the Lord wants? No. He was thinking about his cattle and his sheep. You know, how sad. And so as he looked it over, he thought, my, I won't have to dig so many wells because this is really well watered. Now, Lot did not know how evil and rotten that place was. He didn't know that. Neither did Abram. Lot didn't know, as he was looking it over, that that place down there, why, Sodom and Gomorrah, why, that was going to be destroyed with fire and brimstone. He didn't know that. But my friend, God did. And that's why I want to say that when we make our choices in life, we want to look to the Lord and ask the Lord for wisdom and help as to what we choose. Oh, listen, like my card says, you can make your choices, but those choices will turn around and make you. How important it is to make the right choice. And so Lot said to Uncle Abram, I'll take the plains. And Abram said, fine. Now you see, as far as Abram was concerned, he knew that God was going to do the best for him. He had confidence that God would give him the best. Do you? Oh, listen. If you bring God into all of your choices, you can count on it that he'll give you the best. And you know, when Lot took off, why, the Lord said to Abram, lift up your eyes, Abram. Look to the east. Look to the west. Look to the north. Look to the south. All of this land, I'm going to give it to your descendants. All of it. Abram didn't lose a thing. God said, they're going to get it all. Yes. Why, the Word of God says, whosoever leaveth father or mother or wives or children for the kingdom of God's sake, he shall receive in this time manifold more, and in the time to come, eternal life. Oh, life everlasting. You're not a loser when you let God have his way in your life. Not at all. In fact, the Word of God says in Ephesians, He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And He will. Oh, you see, the Word of God makes it very clear that if you get saved, it's not going to be everything a bed of roses and an easy time. Oh, no. The storms are going to come in life. Just like I have a scene here with a storm. And here I have a rock. Now, if you're sitting in the back again, I want to say you won't be able to see this. But right in the cleft of the rock are two little birds. And those birds are singing. Why, the storm is all around. But the birds are at peace. You know, you're going to have storms in life. Troubles, problems are going to come in your life. But we need to commit it to the Lord. And you see, I like that verse that he says, peace I give unto you. Yes. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then remember those words, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Oh, the storms will come, but you see, what we need to do is cling to the rock. Oh, Jesus Christ, He is the rock. He is the rock of my salvation. Yes, in the times of troubles and storms that come into our life, you can count on Him. You need to cling to Him. But notice in this picture that the Lord Jesus is not on the cross. The Lord Jesus is off the cross. He died. He was buried. But He arose. And because He lives, oh my friends, you and I can live. And we can have that peace that the world knows nothing about. I trust tonight, if you're not sure if you've got that peace, that you'll turn to Him and thank Him for what He did for you on the cross. And cling to Him. Every eye closed and head bowed. Father, again, we just bow in Your presence, and we just pray that as we listen to these lessons from the life of Abram, that You'll use it. And God, I pray that You'll speak to the believers as well as the unbelievers here, that we might claim these truths. Be with us as we separate. And I ask if there's someone that's got a question that they'll stay behind. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for your attention, and lights are on and you're dismissed.